Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Welcome to the show. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Jo Moffat and your host for this afternoon. For those of you who are new to the show or who don't know me, I'm MD and founder of the creative communications consultancy Woodread, and I'm also a member of the Guru Group of Engage for Success, which is how I've come to be involved as a part-time host of the Engage for Success blog talk radio show. At Woodread, we work with leading blue-chip clients as well as not-for-profit and public sector organizations to help them use their brands as tools to drive employee engagement. So for us here, the brand inside is just as important as it is to the marketing teams when they're engaging with consumers on the outside. I'm very pleased to have as our guest today Gloria Lombardi from Simply Communicate. And Gloria is joining us, and for the next half an hour, we're going to be talking about how social business is changing the world of work and what the implications of that are for engagement and internal communications. So welcome to the show, Gloria.
Thank you, Jo. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
It's a pleasure. So let's start by finding out a little bit more about you, if I may. It says here that your job role is community manager for Simply Communicate, who I understand are an online publisher. I wonder if you can just tell us a little bit more about what your job there involves.
Yes, of course. Actually, I'm the community manager, webmaster, and reporter at Simply Communicate. We are, yes, an online publisher. And my responsibilities combine researching, writing, and publishing content on internal communications, employee engagement, and social business. We actually specialize on SMILE, social media inside the large enterprise. And I curate the publication of the weekly magazine and also manage the online community of internal communicators throughout all of the publishers' digital channels. And my job also involves frequently interviewing companies and professionals in the field to write case studies, product and book reviews, and also to report from social business events.
Okay, so really you've got a pretty good view of what's going on in the sector, haven't you? So you talk about the community there, Gloria, the community that you publish for. How big is that?
Yes, the publisher, we have 9,000 members from all around the world, but actually our weekly magazine is read by 15,000 internal communicators worldwide.
Goodness,
so
right,
we have
okay.
A pretty large community.
You do indeed. So really, to talk about this for the next half an hour, we're going to really be drawing on some of your feelings about what are the kind of key trends at the moment. So for the next for the next sort of 30 minutes or so, we're going to be looking about at social business or social collaboration in the workplace. And I wonder if before we get into the details, Gloria, can we just start by asking you to explain what we mean by those terms?
Yes. I would say for the purpose of today's show, I would talk about enterprise social collaboration as the use of social and digital communication tools to help employees to work together, to interact, to share information, and to engage to achieve the enterprise goals.
Okay. So it's about interacting, about engaging, about collaborating, but always with a view to how that can achieve the organization's strategic objectives and the use of enterprise tools to do, social tools to do that then, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. So let's kick off then. What mm-hmm. are you seeing? What are the main trends that you're seeing from those people that you're interviewing, from the people that you're talking to, from the events that you attend as a reporter? What are the mm-hmm. what are key trends that you're seeing in the area of social collaboration or social business, Gloria?
Sure. What I'm seeing from research and interviews is that when we are talking about enterprise social, including the whole enterprise social network movement, definitely it is much more about organizational culture, behaviors, mm-hmm. and relationships rather than technology, although definitely the latter is necessary.
The technology is the enabler, but actually the culture and the relationships
exactly.
are more important.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right. It is the enabler. It is surely mm-hmm. it is necessary because we are talking about enterprise social, but actually mm-hmm. social enterprise means embracing a new type of mindset which requires a specific culture. And
okay.
The phenomenon is really rapidly evolving. We are really in a period of transition. So I could say that there is not really one rule to success. However, what I'm seeing is that having a sound strategy seems to be key to engage employees in this journey, because we are talking about a journey, which means also experimenting, mm-hmm. testing things. But having a strategy, mm-hmm. a point of reference, really it is important to then test and experiment what kind of initiative can drive the right behaviors. And this surely includes leadership buy-in and leadership commitment, because
okay.
Having senior management commitment, which means proactively, actively, and responsibly using this new way of working out loud, really sends a strong message to the rest of the workforce that there is perhaps a better way, a new way to work within the 21st century. So key piece is
leadership. And then, so that really does support, ties in very well with the first enabler that Engage for Success talks about so often, this need for the leadership to be having clear priorities and painting a clear direction of the strategic direction that the organization is going to. It is equally as important that they are seen to embrace this new approach to working and not shy away from it, really.
Absolutely. But also what I would add to this, what I'm seeing that is performed very well by the most mature social businesses is that they are able to balance a sort of top-down, bottom-up, middle-out approach.
What does that mean exactly? Yeah, what exactly do you mean by
yes.
that? It sounds a bit painful to me.
It is not, actually. I mean, it is difficult to implement, yes. But
challenging.
Yes, physically and mentally, most probably. But it means, basically, what I mean, Joe, is that not only it is necessary to have a leadership commitment, but it becomes here important to take advantage of grassroots viral adoption, which means operating from a point of view of management and leadership in a total different manner than it was used to be in the past. It really means empowering the individual and their own teams to use these tools in the way that is best for them to perform a specific project or to interact faster for a specific business reason. This really means empowering the single individual, and that requires embracing a new type of mindset, which is the mindset of working socially on a network, collaborating and working out loud. And that's why comes also the middle-out approach. Middle-out, actually here means middle management, the middle manager layer. Why? Okay. Because middle managers so far were the people who were asked to control project, to control output, to control people performance, processes, and everything else. But now, with Enterprise Social, this tight control doesn't work. So they need to switch the way they are operating their own management, not anymore micromanaging people, but allowing individuals to use the network to perform to perform their own jobs. That's why it is a top-down, bottom-up, and middle-out approach.
Okay, that's interesting that you should be talking there about the managers, Gloria, because again, if we think back to the four enablers of Engage for Success, there's the role of the leadership team in painting a clearly defined strategy and priorities, but also, of course, engaging managers, the role of an engaging manager. So really, really important to drive employee engagement. Mm. And what you've identified is that in this kind of environment, that is equally as important that the manager can adapt and adjust their management style to one that is more suitable for a more collaborative working approach then.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm,
interesting.
And
okay. So what else
an
are
example,
you seeing? Sorry, go on. If you've got an
something
example.
Something else I see. One important thing that I see often common in many let's call successful enterprise social stories is that, especially at the beginning, these organizations make huge use of use cases. What I mean by
use cases
using examples, stories inside the organization that can prove to the rest of the workforce, leaders as well as people of any levels, that actually there is a benefit on using these new social tools to perform a job better or to communicate faster or to achieve a business result. And what organization seems to be doing is to create like a sort of library of use cases. Basically, they require their own employees often to share successful use cases that they themselves had experienced since using the network. These don't need to be necessarily big story. This can be even simple story like finding immediately a contact information to be sent to someone working in the field. This can seem a simple example, but actually can be very important for the person that is working in the field in that particular moment. So,
it's really all about sharing best practice, shining a light on where this new way of working has actually delivered some results, and then using that best practice to perhaps encourage those people who have been less keen to adopt this new way of working, and encourage them to see that what the benefits for them and their job would be.
It could be. Definitely it can speed up the learning process for the less advanced users, as you said. But at the same time, it can also show that there are many ways that people themselves can find by just exploring and testing many benefits that they can use to improve their own jobs. So it really making these use cases available to everyone.
Right, I understand. Okay, and can you share perhaps an example of where you've seen this working to good effect?
Looking at the point I made earlier, I would for example suggest British Gas story. I spoke with Liam Kilminster, who is the social media and collaboration manager at British Gas, and actually he will be also talking at our Smile event on the 25th of September. Basically, British Gas started to pilot their employee social network last year in October. And what they did, as many do initially, was to trial the network with a small group of nearly 500 staff. And this is because organizations want to see if it is worth investing in the network for the longer term. And Kim Minster, who is responsible for building the adoption of the ESN, decided to provide engineers in the field with iPhones and iPads preloaded with the Yammer app. And what he saw was that the number of users went up to over 5,000. Currently, today, they have 11,000 employees, but what that huge uptake, initial uptake, really showed Kilminster and the whole organization, that really remote employees or people that are on the go really needed a new way of communicating, interacting, and working. Mm-hmm. And this shouldn't surprise in a sense that we are talking here for these specific case studies about technicians and engineers that typically went out every day to fix faults, like to fix boilers, and until that moment they really didn't have the opportunity to speak with the rest of the organization at the end of the day. But for the first time,
it's interesting.
For the first time, they now have, just assessing their own Yammer app, the opportunity to ask for ideas or to share best practice with the colleagues that are working in different locations.
What I was going to say, Gloria, which is really interesting, is that I've been doing this show for on and off for 18 months now, and one of the things that comes up so very often is how do you engage remote workers? How do you engage people who are not stuck on a PC all day long? And
exactly.
And this is a this is a very, very powerful example of an organisation that would traditionally have had that real problem and really not had a particularly good solution for it until social business tools gave them that opportunity, really.
Exactly right, exactly. In fact, now we are seeing especially a huge new movement around mobile apps, enterprise apps as well. They are really now finding... They are really now finding a place within the enterprise communication channel mix. So yes, definitely.
I'd like to talk about that in a moment if we can. But before we get on to
the
British Gas example is around using these tools to help engage a workforce. What are the other business benefits that you've been seeing that using these kinds of tools could deliver to an organisation?
Yes. What I am seeing now is that the phenomenon is really growing within the innovation space.
So innovation,
what
right,
I'm seeing,
okay.
Innovation, yes. Now companies have started to use social platforms strategically and specifically for crowdsourcing ideas and creating new products. So in terms of benefits, really we are talking about creating new services through the use of social collaboration platform. If I should give an example, a concrete example here, nearly a month ago, I spoke with Novozymes. Novozymes is a Danish leader in industrial enzymes. Enzymes. Back in 2011, the research and development management team had a priority. They really needed to speed up the process of new product development. And so when thinking about which kind of initiative to implement, they wanted to test with the idea of an internal ideation campaign based on the concept of crowdsourcing. Basically, they wanted to enhance both the quality and quantity of ideas. So they decided to encourage their own scientists to cross-pollinate their own ideas with feedback and insight from other colleagues. And they launched this project on their social platform, which is called Colin. Yes, Colin, actually the name is the acronym for Collaboration and Innovation.
Okay, I love and that. Collaboration and Innovation called Colin.
Innovation.
That's great.
It was specifically named for this particular purpose, meaning that they want really their staff to collaborate and to innovate on the platform. And they run this initiative through a competition format, and they asked a number of staff that they call internal small crowd, it was about 150 employees, to submit their own suggestions for new products. And within a period of about 1 month, they collected 100 of ideas, and some of them, the best of them, after a screening process, were turned into real commercial products, patents, and new business strategies. So since then, really the company found a benefit, a huge business benefit in using these new social collaboration tools. And since then, the companies has extended the initiative to the rest of the organization. Basically, they have been running the activity, the campaign, on a monthly basis, each time with an internal small crowd of about 150 employees. So really,
Is it always the same people, Gloria? Is it always the same people every month, or is it a different crowd each month?
It is a different one. It is a new internal small crowd every single month, because in that way they really tap into the potential of all organization, and also because they make sure that each time the small crowd, as they call it, is diverse. So to make sure that they can really enhance both the quality and quantity of ideas, they really want a diverse workforce working each time on a particular topic, always with the aim to innovate and to suggest new products, services, and business strategies as well.
Right, I see. Interesting. So it's certainly worked, and they are continuing to use it.
Yes, they are continuing to do that, and they also apply very strategic focus on that. Although the process is always kept very democratic and transparent, at the same time there is really a strategic approach to this particular initiative. For example, like the screening process. There is a specific screen team which identifies the good ideas based on a set of criteria. For example, for the first campaign I mentioned earlier, they looked at criteria like technical feasibility or originality or customer need or sales potential, competitive advantage. So there is really a strategic approach to the use of their social platform to create a new product and innovate the business.
So really, Gloria, that ties back with what you were saying at the beginning of this interview about how important it is. These are not just tools for the sake of it. These are tools that need to be thought of in terms of how they can help an organization achieve its strategic objectives, rather than simply,
absolutely,
let's just get a load of ideas just for the sake of it. You know, as you say, the screening,
exactly,
process,
right,
there was very rigorous against a checklist to make,
absolutely,
sure that the ideas were aligned with what the organisation was wanting to be seen as and how it wanted to position itself. It's interesting. Now, you touched on a little moment ago,
yeah,
and I said we'd get back to it. So I just really want to close now, if we can, by talking about, you touched on the issue of enterprise apps. I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about that, because I think this is something that you're saying is really the newest phenomenon in the social,
yes,
collaboration space. And I'm curious to understand what you mean by those and what they are, and how somebody might be using them.
Absolutely. Yes, this is the newest I would also add very relevant phenomenon that we are seeing here, simply enterprise apps. Basically, what I'm saying is that now mobile apps, enterprise apps, are really finding a place within the enterprise social communication channel mix. Basically, there are now a lot of new startups that are developing many single or multi-purpose enterprise apps that are actually able to fill a gap within the enterprise social network. And this is why, mm-hmm, and this is because, sorry, these enterprise apps are very much context bounded. So if you are in the network, on the social network, you are talking to the company, potentially,
mm-hmm,
these new enterprise apps are specifically used for a specific context, which can be, for example, chatting with my teams on a particular project, or can be keeping up to date with a specific departmental news. So mm-hmm, often they are used for specific team needs, for specific organizational needs, and they seem to be much appreciated by employees because they are delivering faster communications, and they are allowing especially remote employees or people on the go to still collaborate, innovate, and share on projects and work that is very relevant to them to perform their job daily. So we are like seeing a sort of ecology, I would say, of diverse enterprise apps. And people can,
mm-hmm,
work, they can communicate on many different apps depending on the specific project or need.
Okay, and how do they do that? Can you give us an example of where this is being used and how an organization is using all these different apps?
I could bring in the story of London Heathrow.
Uh-huh.
I interviewed them 2 months ago, and basically they have created an app, an enterprise app for their operational team.
Uh-huh.
This is because we know London Heathrow is one of the world's largest international airports. They are welcoming 1 million passengers a year. And
mm-hmm,
the internal communication team had the challenge to find a way to allow the operational team to be constantly updated with organizational news while working in such an environment that changes from minute to minute. But before embarking on any initiative, they wanted to do an internal research. And this internal research showed them that 80% of operational colleagues were willing to access any company information through their own personal mobile device. So
it was a surprisingly high number, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah,
we are talking about 80%. And so what the team, the digital and technology communication team did was to develop a simple but very effective mobile phone app. And today, this app, which is built on the App Builder, which is the provider, is called the Heathrow Operations App, and colleagues from operation use it regularly to assess daily news, information, keep up to date on team events or recognition awards, but also they can submit their own ideas for any business improvement. And I remember Will Day, the person I interviewed for this case studies, who is actually the digital communications manager at Heathrow, he said the implementation of this enterprise app really showed us that there is a cultural shift inside our organization. Our employees really want mobile, they want real-time communication, and they really want social. And what this enterprise app is actually allowing this as population within the workforce of Heathrow is for the first time, despite working in different locations, to start to build a sense of community, to interact with each other, and finally to perform the job better because they are better informed whenever they want. They just need to access this app, which is very simple to use, and they
immediately
are able to see what is going on in other terminals.
Excellent. Gloria, I'm really sorry, but we're going to have to call it a day there. We've come to the end of the show, but that's a really lovely example to finish on. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and insights. It's been great having you on the show. So once again, thank you very much, and goodbye. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.